Hi, McCartney fans, and welcome to episode 101 of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. We are a Paul McCartney talk show mainly dealing with the solo career of Paul McCartney. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi, and you may know me from my other show, Talk More Talk. And as always, I am joined by my partner in crime, my backwards traveler, my buddy, Andy Nichols. Andy, what's going on, my friend?
101, and just like that, 30-some-odd episodes later, we're up to 101.
Unbelievable. Thanks for being here. I couldn't do this without you, and look forward to another 99 episodes, maybe.
I'm here. Let's crank them out. Let's do it.
Excellent. So, as you can see, we're here with two other gentlemen, our buddies from Things We Said Today. This is part two of our crossover of things we would like to see from the archives. We were on Things We Said Today a couple weeks ago, and we talked about what we would like to see from the Lennon, the Harrison, and Starr camps. And now we're here to talk about what we'd like to see from the Beatles and Paul McCartney. And as you can see, we have with us the two gentlemen. There's a third missing, and we'll talk about that in a second. But first, let's introduce Darren DeVivo. Darren, he's the DJ from WFU, or FUV.
FUV. F-U-V.
Don't forget the V.
Come on. Well, he's from out west. He don't know.
No, I was just kidding.
What, the V ahead, is Darren. Very
Yeah, the V is very, very, yes. So, Darren, welcome back to the show. It's good to see you.
Thanks for having us, and it's a lot of fun. Thank you.
Yeah, excellent. Yes, thank you very much for being here. And last but definitely not least, he is my Talk More Talk co-host. He is the DJ for WNHU, which, has there been any change in that? Is that still out of...
No, as a matter of fact, the general manager sent us an email a few weeks ago that we may be off even for the remainder of the year. So everything that's on the station is on automation.
Okay, so. Wow. So, yeah, but his show, Every Little Thing, it was on WNHU, but you can still catch his syndicated version, which is all over the World Wide Web, and he'll tell us about that, tell us more about that later. He is Ken Michaels. Ken, how are you doing? Welcome back.
Good, Tom. Good to see you, Andy. It's Four Legs tonight.
Yes, it is definitely Four Legs tonight. And obviously, there's not the fifth leg here because he's busy writing the McCartney Legacy series, which is due on in October. The first volume needs to be done in October. Is that correct, Ken?
It won't be out to the middle of next year, but it has to be turned into the publisher in October.
Gotcha. Yeah. So if you're watching this, Alan, why? You need to be working. Get back to work and and get that book done so we can interview you and Adrian Sinclair about it. So looking forward to that. So
he's going to be on our show first, you know.
He's on our show. Yeah, we know. We got to get there. We understand. It's okay. We understand. But anyways, before we jump into tonight's topic, I do want to mention a few things. Our friend Joe Wisby, who was on a couple episodes ago, his podcast, Beatles Books, is officially out now. And his first guest was, you may know him from this book that just came out now, John Lennon 1980, The Last Days of John Lennon, Last Days in the Life. And it's by Ken Womack, Ken and I's Talk More Talk co-host. And haven't had a chance to listen to it, but I look forward to listening to that. So that is out now, and you can find that on Spotify and Podbean and iTunes, I believe, Apple Podcasts. So check that out. Also, I want you to check out, if you haven't already, a Facebook page called Beatles in Print Together and Solo. This is by our friend John Bazzini, and it's just filled with information on all kinds of books, as he says, Beatles and solo Beatles related. So if you haven't checked that out, please do. It's a really good, informative book. Books that you definitely would probably know, and then books that maybe flew under the radar that you should probably check out as well. So it's a very informative Facebook page, so please check that out. So now back to this show. So last time we were together, we talked about the Lennon camp, the Harrison camp, and the Ritchie camp. And now we're going to dig into, let's see here. Maybe we'll start with Paul McCartney, because Darren did leave us off on a cliffhanger on the things we said today portion of that show. So, Darren, what would you like to see released from Paul, the McCartney camp, you know, any in an archive form?
I'll be honest with you, there isn't, my wish list for McCartney is small, probably because of all of the album reissues that have been happening. Right. So the deluxe reissues of all the albums, those kind of are taking care of non-album tracks for the most part and unreleased material for the most part. Well, something that doesn't exist is a true, complete, the best of Paul McCartney album, greatest hits album. I mean, greatest hits is kind of a weak title, but some sort of complete spanning 70 to the present best of album. You're talking, it would have to be multiple discs, you know, at least two or three CDs and more when it comes to the vinyl, because if you look at the four, and that's only four, which is not a lot for someone who's got a career as significant, as large as McCartney's is post Beatles, there's only four albums. There's Wings Greatest, there's All the Best, Wingspan, Hits in History, and Pure McCartney, which never really, when it came out, it was sort of described as, this is not really a best of. It's Paul's, you know, Paul's opinion on what he likes. What are the songs that are favorites of his that have held up through the years? And even the compilations that have come out in the past, Wings Greatest and All the Best, even at the time of the release, they were incomplete. They were missing tracks. You know, Wings Greatest didn't have Listen to What the Man Said. Didn't have have the Maybe I'm Amazed. And then when All the Best comes out as a double album, that's missing technically even more. You know, High's Gone, Take It Away wasn't there. The full version of With a Little Luck, Helen Wheels, Maybe I'm Amazed was still missing. You know, Hits in History wasn't really meant
on
to
the
be
U.S. There. It was on the U.K. edition.
Which one?
Maybe I'm Amazed.
Oh, really?
Maybe, yeah, it's on the...
That's kind of odd that it would be left off. It was a top 10 hit in America.
Right.
In 77.
And to be clear, you're talking about the live version.
Yeah. Wingspan and Pure McCartney, as I mentioned before, were more not meant to be best ofs, but meant to be, you know, anthologies concentrating on certain period or a certain mood. So McCartney really does need a career-spanning best of, and the only way to do it right would be to make it, you know, I'd have to say probably at least a double CD packed to the rafters, but probably a triple.
More than that
would translate into, I don't know how many vinyl records, unless they want to do different configurations where the vinyl buyers don't get every track or whatever the case might be, but and I would think that it would have to be kept to charting songs or single releases, because there isn't a whole heck of a lot of room to start digging into album cuts if you want to do this.
Right, and that's what I was going to ask you, is would you just consider it the best of the songs that were released as singles, or do you release all the singles, including like Waterfalls that didn't chart?
Well, all right, then I'll ask you this question of that. Would you rather have on a best of Paul McCartney, would you rather have Waterfalls because it was chosen as a single, you know, and briefly appeared like for an hour and a half on the charts, or would you rather have something like Maybe I'm Amazed, the studio version, or...
I would rather, if we're going to call it a best of, I'd rather just see it stay with the singles.
That would be my tendency to lean that way, but at the same time, I think you end up with a stronger album if you make some exceptions to the rule, you know, and maybe leave a Waterfalls off. Of course, now that I'm trying to think of a good example of another single, you know, would you include Letting Go?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I would.
Yeah. But if there, if it comes to, like, it would be one of the first, if I had to make an omission, if it was absolutely necessary, it would not be something I'd want to omit. Or London Town was even less of a charting single than Letting Go. You know, so
it's really funny, Darren. You mentioned this on our last episode. There's, you know, with the Harrison stuff, the compilations have been very scattered. They have not been thorough and concise, you know. And McCartney's hasn't either. Harrison's has been very scattered, and
Lennon's has.
Lennon's has.
Because there have been so many, it's like the opposite.
Right,
there's
almost,
you could say there's too many Lennon. And
not enough of the other. Yeah.
Proper.
That's
know,
a good point.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Okay. So I don't know if Paul, I guess Paul would have to be behind something like, he would have to be behind something like that. I don't know. Maybe that's not his cup of tea because he's never done it before of this magnitude.
Right.
You know, Pure McCartney was big, but again, that wasn't meant to be an accurate best of history hits collection. So, gotcha. I mean, that really is the only thing that I would have on a McCartney wish list, because a lot of everything else is being covered with the reissues. And I don't see him doing something like compiling, I think we touched on this last show, compiling the rare tracks from the box sets onto one.
Mm, yeah. Right.
And then you have a bigger old cuts. Right. I don't see that happening. It's kind of redundant. And so really, for me, a complete, accurate, the best of Paul McCartney type of at least triple CD, umpteenth vinyl, you know, six, seven. I don't know.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, it's being done, you know, when you think of, you know, box sets now, and they're very with vinyl. I mean, they're matching it up to where, you know, you're getting exactly the same on the vinyl as you are from CD, and sometimes it takes even more vinyl. I know the Sign of the Times box set that's coming out with Prince later this month. I believe that's like 12 or 13 LPs that are coming in that set. You know, just so they can get everything that they had on the you know, six or seven CDs. So, I mean, you know, it is out there, you know, and they say, you know, this is dying, but I don't see this, you know.
Doesn't look like it, is it?
No, it's with all these releases, you know, you keep hearing that, you know, the physical media is dying, but they're certainly releasing all this stuff.
If it was dying, we wouldn't be getting it.
Yeah.
Not to get off topic with that, but you bring up that point. At WFUV, we play so much new music, new artists who are debuting and whatnot. There are a lot of artists today who have just issued debut albums, or maybe are putting out their second or third releases. They're not, more and more I'm seeing releases coming out digital only, no CD, maybe vinyl, but there are. And there's some names, and of course I won't be able to think of any now that I want to, some names that are maybe a little more than just up-and-coming artists to have releases out that are not coming out on CD, and if there's vinyl pressings, it's being sold maybe only on the website.
Yeah, very limited quantities.
Limited edition things. So that is happening, where the physical format's beginning to take a hit.
Right.
But not for the old consumer like us.
Right.
The newer artists, it's harder for them. Yeah.
Okay. So that's your list.
That's basically it. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, that's good for me. Anybody want to, say anything about that, Ken?
Well, first of all, there's a distinction to me between a greatest hits and a best of. Greatest hits to me are the hits. They are the singles. Best of also means you can go deeper into album cuts. And there's no way on earth with a catalog of over 30 albums that two or three or even four discs is enough for Paul McCartney. As far as I'm concerned, if you want to keep it strictly the singles, regardless of how well they did, you can get away with it. But if you believe, if you studied his catalog and there's a lot of great album cuts that you think are better, possibly, than the singles, then you wanted to be a bigger box set. And I don't think you can really do Paul McCartney justice with a very, with a, you know, a one or two CD collection. Only if you stick to the biggest hits can you get away with that. So, yeah, there should be a really good collection, but it would have to be at the minimum four discs, four CDs, I would say. Yeah. And everybody's going to battle over what belongs on there, especially once you get into the album cuts. You know, once you study any artist that you really love, you know that the hits are not always the best representations of their work. You know, there's so many great album cuts that Paul's done. You know, I'm surprised that that's your main, you know, wish list there. That's so simple. I wish mine was that simple. You know,
it's simple, but it does. But other than, I mean, it's been since '87 since All the Best came out, and there's been like no attempt at All the Best Volume 2 or Volume 3. There's been none of that where you would be able to get things like Hope of Deliverance and Fine Line on
all
the
those
same.
Right
with the live Maybe I'm Amazed and the Venus and Mars Rock Show medley, right. The single for Edit,
which
you know,
was
get
horrible.
All that stuff together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Well, you know, I can go down my laundry list of what I'd like to see from Paul, but you know, compared to Darren, you know.
Yeah. Let's jump over to Andy and what you got on your list, my friend.
For Paul, I have two small things. One I think is going to come eventually, but I'm just like to embellish on it. What I want to see, and this might be unpopular, I want an Uber Deluxe Give My Regards to Broad Street box. I want like the $500-$600 thing. I want it all in there. I want like the script. I want the whole thing in that box. I've watched it a lot lately. I'm sorry. I love it. Throw it all in there. Give me all the outtakes. Give me all that. So that's like and we might get a smaller condensed version of that soon, eventually. Right. But that would be great. I don't know. Just anything that has that historic value in it. You've got Ringo in it, George Martin, all the kind of connections to the Beatles ties in it. That warrants a major release in my super, you know, McCartney fandom opinion. It does. Okay, is it a great movie? No, but it's Paul McCartney and Ringo's in it and George Martin. So I'm done with you. Put a replica of the movie ticket in there. Whatever, I'll do it. You know, that would be nice. But really,
movie
what I
poster?
Yeah, the poster. I just bought one on eBay today. And I hang it up. Yeah. But that's that. But real more realistically, what I'd like to see, and he hasn't done this that much, is kind of release some live shows like the other artists have done through his website. He's got probably a slew of professionally recorded shows going back God knows how long. Put it out there as a service, sign up, pay, and have access to download those live shows. I mean, he's got, you know, that's one thing that's really been, he hasn't really jumped on board with a lot of the artists that do that these days.
Doesn't King Crimson do that?
Yes. Yeah, lots King Crimson does it. Lots
Metallica
of bands do it.
Does it too, I believe.
The Who did it for a while. You can go get the show that they do and get it. I mean, I'd like that part of his career. I'd love to see if they can, and everything's digitized. You know, he has everything on a cloud.
All right.
No, just why couldn't you just make all those shows, you know, available to be purchased? You know, there's so many. You know, and why not? I think it'll be great. I mean, we have the official live recordings. Great. And I know he likes to present it as such a show, right, from start to finish. But when you go to a concert, there's banter, there's the things that make that record that night special, and you could have that. Oh, I was at the Chicago show in 1989. Boom. And you could just buy it. I mean, that's just an idea. But I would love to see his team take that kind of approach with his live recordings to put out there to for sale for the fans.
And that's called making money while you sleep.
Yeah.
That's an excellent idea.
Yeah.
We're seriously hurting in the live department as far as I'm concerned, because we haven't had a major release live since Good Evening New York City. And even before that, there's a lot of stuff that he did live that's missing on his live releases anyway. Right. There are some things that are on his DVDs, like The Space Within Us, that he didn't release audio-wise.
Right.
You know, like Please Please Me and Too Many People going.
Right. Video, but we didn't get any CD release. Right.
That kind of stuff. And when you think about it, especially, there's a lot of Beatles songs that he's put into his set list that he's never released live. Right. In the last, you know, 10, 11 years. There's all that.
On the road.
Oh, you mean with Neil Young?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's that. But, I mean, All Together Now, Your Mother Should Know, Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite.
Having live audio, you know, CD recordings of those songs would be tremendous.
Yeah. He's never addressed that. And what he has done, say, with New and Egypt Station, he's made bonus tracks, like four live tracks instead. Right. I'd rather have a full live album than have just the four songs from the newest album done live. Right. You know, right. So he's kind of neglected that. And then, you know, there are a lot of fans who probably feel maybe he's very sensitive about his voice, how it's going to come out. That's why there hasn't been a live album. And there's been talk about him putting out something like sound checks, right. You know, rehearsals. Paul has hinted at that. Maybe that way he could have more control over what goes out. I don't know. But, I would like to see a lot more live stuff.
Yeah. And if, you know, and like Andy said, if that approach was ever taken, I mean, you don't have to start with the most current stuff. I mean, you can go back to, you know, the early, you know, university tour, you know, if there's audio, you know, enough audio out there for you know, start then and just gradually, you know, go up his whole touring career, which I think would be a great way to start, you know, myself. But I think both those are good ideas. But Darren?
I was going to mention live, but, you know, I always come back to the condition of his voice today. And if you're going to do a proper live package like what Ken's talking about, I don't think that would necessarily show him off in the best light. And you mentioned, Ken, that maybe he feels that way. Maybe that's one of the reasons why it hasn't happened, a big like live anthology. I tend to doubt that because he's touring. He is not shy of going back out on tour or out on stage to perform, even if he's not in the best voice. I just don't know if documenting that, because he really, I mean, the last show I saw of his where he wowed me was the City Field shows on Good Evening New York City.
That's over 10 years ago.
After
now.
That, it's a little touchy. Some people I wouldn't bother them. I would buy it, obviously. We buy everything, but, you know, I'd be a little hesitant, a little leery about having him not at his best documented forever.
Right.
However, if every single show was recorded professionally and you had a team of people to comb through all those shows and say, this is the best altogether now, this is the best of each song,
you
could still have a really good live CD.
Right.
And it wouldn't be embarrassing in any way.
Yeah. I would also be so afraid. Gee, I hope they didn't do any tinkering in the studio.
Right.
Right. You want this stuff released, you know, as performed. Right.
Mm. Right. So, but that's a good idea, Ken. They could comb through all, all the tapes and say, you know, he sounded good that night. Yeah. So that's an idea.
If you take a look at Chipping the Live Fantastic, that was a collection of shows from
all over the world. That's right.
It wasn't
right.
One show in one location. You could do the same thing with, you know, a new release.
Yeah.
That's a live release. So
the soundcheck is a good one, though.
Yeah.
The songs from soundchecks. Because that was like a good chunk of Tripping the Live Fantastic with this, where a lot of the soundcheck tracks.
Yes. But again, you listen to that. That was wonderfully produced. It sounded like one show, and it was taken from all different cities across the world.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. All right. Ken, let's jump to you.
Okay. Well, I'm going from London Town on.
Okay.
What I'd like to see. London Town, obviously, you've got to have... first of all, for every studio album, it goes without saying. I'd love to have demos of every song if they exist. I'd love to hear early takes of every song and alternate takes. Yeah. And alternate takes has got to be for just about everything, really. With London Town, you got to have Waterspout included as a bonus track. Don't understand why in hell that wasn't on the album. The full-length feature film Rupert, Paul wrote an entire soundtrack for that.
Right.
And that was around that time. That would be a great addition for London Town.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Back to the Egg is one that we could do a whole show on of stuff that exists that would make this one of the most lavish box sets. First of all, it is obvious the Glasgow concert that's been bootlegged as Last Flight.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and the Campuchia concert, possibly. Although that's the same show, really, as the Glasgow show. But what was released on the double album for Campuchia had a whole side of Paul, and it had the Rockestra with it, so maybe you can include that. There was the TV special with videos for the songs.
Yep.
That was great. Rehearsal footage of Rockestra, there's a film that exists of that. I haven't seen a great quality one of that. I don't know if there is something better that exists.
It's on the Wingspan DVD.
Not the whole thing.
Well, just the main video portion.
Okay. It's been a while since I've seen that. So
but that's that version of the Rockestra, that's very well done on that DVD. It's a bonus feature on that.
Okay, good. All right. Well, I'd love to have it on this too.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. You got to put Cage on there.
Yep.
Daytime, Nighttime Suffering's got to be on there. Good Night Tonight. Robber's Ball is a song that was really recorded after Back to the Egg, but it's still worthy of being released, as was the Denny Lane song Weep for Love.
Right.
I would love to have Lawrence Juber's Maisie on there, you know, even though Lawrence has released it himself. There's a song that I was only made aware of, which is on YouTube. I asked Lawrence Juber about this because I never heard it before, called Cruising Ahead. Which is without Lawrence, so it could have just been Paul on his own. Maybe Paul was Steve Holly, I don't know, Cruising Ahead. There were jams at Limp Castle in May of 1979 with lots of 50s rockers in there. There's Japanese tour rehearsals from January of 1980. There's more rehearsals in July of 1980 in Kent. There's tons of stuff. There's rehearsals of Wings doing songs that turned up on Tug of War, Pipes of Peace, and Broad Street.
Yeah, like eight takes of Average Person.
Yeah. Gotta have it. You got it. Tom is salivating over that right now. It all depends upon whatever is in Paul's head at the time. Does Wings rehearsing songs that ended up on those albums really not belong on Back to the Egg? It's just that it's Wings members. So, you know, put yourself in his mindset. Does that make sense? Not only that, but there was a bootleg from 1974 of Paul on the piano doing Getting Closer.
Piano tape. Yeah. Yep.
And he also does Million Miles on there. Do you want to go back to
a ton of stuff.
Something like that? There's so much you could do with Back to the Egg. And I think that you can do an amazing job on that for what does exist.
Some of those rehearsals you mentioned, Ken, I know it's out there on video too. Wings rehearsing with a little luck for the Japan tour in 80. I mean, can you imagine if they'd performed that live, if that tour had gone on? Didn't sound too bad.
Yeah, I think Lawrence told me that Paul wasn't too pleased. It didn't gel enough.
Song to do in a live, you know, with all the synths and stuff in that. It's a tough song to do, but it would have been cool. But even that, even just hearing that little rough, to your point about including demos, just to have that on a box set would be great.
There's a bootleg I have of London Town stuff, and it's Paul with a drum machine kind of playing along to With a Little Luck, and he's you could tell that he doesn't have the lyrics finished. He's just alternating lines.
Yeah,
it's completely different.
I think it's the guide vocal version. I think so. What it's bootlegged as. I've seen. It's just like six minutes. Yeah,
but you can tell that the melody is all done. It's just he's got to fit the right lines in the song. you know, this was all in Eight Arms to Hold You. There are titles here I've never heard recordings of, so I don't even know if they really exist. Like All the Love Is There, something like, you know, from this period. Right. Give My Regards to Broad Street. Maybe because it was 1983, you can slip in something like the demo for On the Wings of a Nightingale. You know, if you could put Ballad of the Skeletons on Flaming High, you could put something like that on there, or the theme to the Honorary Consul, which is really interesting. It's a beautiful piece from that was written by Paul and John Williams, the classical guitarist, played it. I'd love to see outtakes from the film for Broad Street. Wouldn't that be absolutely cool to have on the DVD?
Yeah. Also, the South Bank show, too, the documentary, which is also tremendous on that, the making of that album, a film.
Yeah, I didn't put that down. Very good. And maybe, do you want to stick something like Rupert and the Bear? Because when it was shown in theaters initially,
you have to have that there.
That's got to be in there. Put that in the box set, too.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Press to play. We need a whole show on this. Every album I'm expecting remastered or remixed, although he's only remixed Tug of War for some reason. I don't know why that's the only album.
I wish he remixed them all, to be honest with you.
But there's that whole album's worth of Phil Ramone songs that they did together, some of which ended up as bonus tracks on Flaming Pie, which kind of upsets me because I don't want anything to disturb the Phil Ramone recordings. Right. I'd love to have that all come out on one CD, all those songs. It's been bootlegged that way.
Right.
So to split it up and put some on Flaming Pie.
Also, the Return to Pepperland bootleg.
Yeah. Pizza and Fairy Tales also as well.
Also known as that too, yeah.
Okay.
But to have something like another case of splitting up songs, you have Back on My Feet as a bonus track on Flowers of the Dirt. So what about Once Upon a Long Ago? It's the same sessions.
Right.
So that, I guess, belongs on Press to Play. Is there any... Does that make sense at all?
because it was done independent of between two albums, so he's probably not sure where to shoehorn it. You know, he puts one on bonus track, Press to Play, Once Upon a Long Ago, and then Back on My Feet gets stuck as a bonus track on Flowers.
You're looking at the Elvis Costello, you know, that whole collaboration, so it does make sense that Back on My Feet is there.
Oh, I understand that, but it's just if it's the exact same time when they were recorded together.
Right.
Why are they broken up? Good point.
Yeah. And then there's stuff like what he did with David Foster. There's a song, Lindiana, which is really beautiful.
Nice
that
song.
Should be on there. Around that time, I know I bring this up a lot, Paul wrote a song with Peter Gabriel.
Yes.
Called Politics of Love. I don't even know if it was ever finished, but I'd love to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
That would also be something really interesting if Paul would ever dare to release something that wasn't finished.
Right.
No
like
way.
That. There's a song that was mentioned that Paul wrote with Jeff Lynne. It was in the book, in the Flaming Pie book, and it's escaping me now.
Cello Echoes, something?
Cello in the Ruins.
Yeah.
Yes. There you go. Thank you, Tom. Yeah, I would love to hear something like that. So Press to Play, and then you could also do the stripped down Press to Play without the Hugh Padgham production, more what Eric Stewart had in mind. That would be interesting. I know a lot of people would probably prefer that. So there's so much you can do with Press to Play. I would say Back to the Egg, Press to Play, and Off the Ground are the ones where you can really have the most lavish treatment of them all with what
you hear that, Tom?
Yes, I hear that.
Uh-oh. Have I said something amiss?
No, don't worry.
I know you just did a show on Off the Ground, but I didn't get to watch it. So
that's all right.
we made a believer out of him, as much as he wanted to deny it.
Okay.
Went into it hating it, and he came out of it 2 hours later loving it because Joe and I told him how good it was, finally.
Oh, I think it's a good album, but I do think that so many of the bonus tracks were better than what
he
put on the album.
Could have been a great album.
Yes.
So then you got... You've got the albums that he reissued lately just as single disc, and you don't really know if he's going to do anything elaborate with it, like the Russian album. Mm-hmm. Would be nice to have alternate takes of songs from those sessions. There can't be too much because it was recorded over just a few days. I know they did Cut Across Shorty.
Right.
You know, would be nice if something was done with that. Maybe like two CD.
When it comes to the Russian album, there were a couple of tracks, and I don't remember now which ones, that weren't on the initial pressing in the Soviet Union. Then right. There was a pressing. So there's probably a track or two that fell through the cracks or, you know, could be to make an ultimate edition. Maybe not right. More than a single. Maybe they're only a single disc, but that would be all right.
Yeah. Well, the first version had 11 tracks. And the one that was reissued just recently is 14. That version.
Oh, that one.
The initial Russian version is what we got reissued.
Yeah. There was actually three versions. 11 tracks, 12 tracks, and 14 tracks.
14, right. I thought that was the...
Yeah. So you could have the 14-track one and anything else from the sessions that they could consider bonus material. That would be sweet. Off the Ground, the album and all those bonus tracks you got to have on there. Like I said, keep in mind, I'm also thinking demos, alternate right. takes.
Yeah.
With every single album.
Too, yeah, I mean, and some other stuff too that was recorded in that era that didn't make the album, such as like in Liverpool was, I think that I know they did a recording of that as well.
Yep.
And it didn't make the album.
Yeah, great track.
Yeah, that could go on there. I loved Paul's performance on Up Close. MTV's Up Close, and he's got lots of the songs from Off the Ground on there. You can make that a DVD, Blu-ray, put that into the box set. So between all the bonus material, alternate takes, whatever, although some of that's already used up with the Elvis Costello stuff on Flowers in the Dirt, it could be really special what was done with Off the Ground. Live albums, we just talked about, Chipping the Live Fantastic, could have Get Back as a bonus DVD, bonus tracks, anything from the tour that wasn't on the original. Like we talked about, all the sound check stuff, which really kind of made Chipping the Live Fantastic special. Maybe there's some more sound check stuff. Also at the time you had something like P.S. Love Me Do, released as a bonus track, and the live version of Let Him In that both right. came out on the Birthday single. You can add that. You know, I don't want Paul ignoring his live releases. So Paul is Live is another one. You could put the Paul is Live DVD along with that, although I thought that was one of the worst things he ever released in his career.
Agreed.
It was the slickest production.
Darren, you like it?
No, I'm writing down here. Ken criticized.
Wow. Note the date and time.
Today, to anything that, you know, and I didn't like the Paul is Live album. I think I watched the video once. I didn't like the album because you really hear that his voice was on the way out on the album Paul is Live. It kind of tainted it for me. And I wasn't thrilled.
We heard otherwise from Joe. Joe Mayo told us that he thought when he saw McCartney live in 93, he thought his voice was in great shape.
I did too.
So did I.
The show, Giant Stadium, was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
The only, I think that might have been the only New York City area show of that tour.
Giant Stadium in June of 93, yes.
Yeah. I don't recall.
He did Philly. He did Philly also.
Okay. I don't think it hit me yet that his voice was getting a little ragged until I heard the Paul is Live album. And then I've since gone back, and you can even hear a little wear on Tripping the Live Fantastic that didn't like click with me when the album was new. But it's interesting that, Ken, that you would have that strong of an opinion about the Paul is Live film, because I agree with you. I was also wasn't nuts about the concert film that came before that because of the way Richard Lester made that film with so many cuts.
Very cuts. Know,
and you could tell he was wearing a red jacket, black jacket, back to the red, yellow jacket. It was like, it took away from it for me. That what was that
Get back.
Right. Get Paul McCartney's Get Back. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not
only that, but to me, in my ears, the audio from Get Back always sounded slower.
That's because it was done in PAL format. When they shoot it, sometimes there's like a mastering thing when they prepare it for theatrical release where it gets slowed down. I've done some reading up on this because there's been a lot of films that when you watch them originally, the way they prepared, go watch the original, actually, John Lennon film, Imagine, from 1971, if you can find a copy. It's the same thing. The music is slower. And there's something in the mastering process with the film where the music drops a tone. And that Paul McCartney's Get Back is one of those, just like the Imagine film. Go check out some of those original Beatles or solo films. You'll hear that distinct sound. I've done a lot of reading up on that.
Okay, good. Can they fix that now?
Well, they did. They did what they with the new Imagine they did. They fixed it, so that's not there anymore. But if you have an original copy, you can see it. It's slowed, and to your point, the Get Back film suffers from the same fate. The songs are very, very slow compared to listening to it on Tripping the Life Fantastic, and that's a result of the mastering process with the film. Maybe somebody out there listening knows the proper term, but I know that from what I've read, it's something in the editing of the film when they transfer it from, you know, that's what happens. But his concert films for me have never been great anyway. They're not that, you know, I don't know how Tom feels or you guys feel, but
not even Rock Show?
That's different. That's the gold standard. But a lot of the other ones, once or twice.
I thought the Russian DVD was okay.
Too much back and forth between the crowd and the show.
Yeah, but the track. I think the track listing on that one was.
It was, but there's just too much back and forth with, you know, people just, you know, screaming and just film the concert and get cameramen that know the parts of the songs, where the solos are, and just film the show and release it as a Blu-ray. That's it. Look at the concert for George as your gold standard. Just watch that one.
Mm. Yeah. No, I agree. Well,
these McCartney films came out of still that whole era of the MTV quick cut, you know.
Yeah. Jump cuts, jump cutting. Yeah.
I like. It annoyed me when they would go to the crowd.
Yeah.
And you would hear the guy go, "Oh, Paul, I love you."
Yeah, yeah. Like, you don't want to see that.
Yeah. You know, you don't want to see a 50-year-old crying?
No. I want to watch, come on. I couldn't buy a ticket to the show. I want to watch the performance. I don't need to see some old guy crying his eyes out. Come on.
Yeah. Or somebody who's like, you know, a pump. You said, is this a soccer match or is it a McCartney concert? Because this guy's going to have a seizure any second now. Cut back to the span.
Good point, Aaron.
Yeah. I agree with you, although I still think the Russian concert was great in terms of performance, and the Space Within Us I liked a lot. But just like you were saying, Darren, cutting to someone like John Cusack in the audience, it's like to prove that Paul is hip, you know, that these people like Paul McCartney, you know.
As he's talking to the astronauts in space.
I'm glad you mentioned the Space Within Us, because that was a good film. I enjoyed that.
I think so too. You know, then there's also Unplugged. You got to do something with Unplugged.
Yeah,
you
gotta
release. I took one of mine.
DVD, Blu-ray.
I took one of yours.
Yeah.
Well, he's doing everything, so he's going to take
all day. You want to take it from here? I don't want to hog the show.
Well, that's great. You know, I love it. Just keep going.
Let me see. So not only should you have the performance from MTV as a DVD Blu-ray, any rehearsals from that performance, and also he did a brief tour in the UK to get warmed up for it.
Yep.
One of which I was fortunate to be at the Mean Fiddler when it was happening. And that's been bootlegged, and to have that, add that to the Unplugged CD would be nice, because he did something at all those shows. He made it half acoustic, half electric. So there's other songs in there that he did, like My Brave Face or something.
Right.
At the time, which he didn't do, obviously, on Unplugged. Good Evening, New York City. we need new live albums or compilations like we just said. Yeah. I was going to mention, because she brought up the Giant Stadium show in 93, my favorite moment was when he did Another Day. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I've ever heard him do Another Day live, which is one of my favorite songs. Great. And it's not even on Paula's Live, the album, for whatever the reason. It doesn't make any sense.
No.
So that's another song that he neglected to release as a live performance on audio. And it's a shame. Move on over to Run Devil Run. Love to hear outtakes of that. You got to put Fabulous, which was a bonus track on there. Again, these between this and the Russian album, they were recorded very quickly, so I don't know how much there is of outtakes, but you've got such stellar musicians on both those albums, really. It would be nice to hear outtakes from Run Devil Run, as well as Live at the Cavern. You could package that with
that. That should be in there, too, yep.
Something would have to be done. Nobody's really talking about it yet these days, about his classical albums. So I would probably put them all together in one box set.
Makes have sense to me.
Liverpool Oratorio, yeah. Standing Stone, Ecce Homeum, Ocean's Kingdom, and even...
Working Classical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you got five releases there. I can't imagine there being outtakes. And even if they are, they're not going to have Paul's vocals on them.
No.
So I don't know how much interest there would be in that, but any of the videos that accompany those, like the making of the oratorio, would be nice to put all in one box set.
That's a good idea.
And we talked about this on Talk More Talk, I think, or it might have been when I was on Two Legs. There should be a compilation of his soundtrack music, because there's so much that he's done through the years. You know, a scattering of songs here and there that ended up on movies.
Right.
You know, and even including Hope for the Future. Yeah. Or In the Blink of an Eye, some of the more recent stuff, Vanilla Sky. Mix all that with Spies Like Us and Live and
Twice
Let Die.
Twice in a Lifetime.
Did
Twice
We Meet Somewhere Life. Before?
Yeah. You know,
same place next year?
Same time next year.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though those were songs that were rejected, didn't make the album, but still, you know, that would be a great compilation. Maybe do something for the Fireman, a box set with all three of them. I don't know how important those first two will be to a lot of fans, because it's all instrumental stuff. You know, it's all very atmospheric, ethereal, not melodies that stick out in your head, but... it is Paul McCartney. It's part of his history, so
that's right. I'd be curious if, in the back of his mind, if he's got a you know, thought for a fourth one in the future. So I don't know if we put a hold on that one for now, but I would definitely welcome a fourth Fireman album for sure.
Well, I think Youth has talked about that they were planning on making another. So, I don't know how you feel about this, but what about an updated McCartney Years box set? Or does it not matter anymore since the videos are on all these archival boxes?
I put it down on my list. I think it's a part two would be a happy welcome. I mean, you can add stuff that wasn't on the original McCartney years, like Young Boy wasn't on there. The World Tonight wasn't on there. So I mean, there's some videos that were out at that time before the release of the McCartney years that you could put on a part two. And Lord knows he's still making videos, which we're, seeing as we just got that Great Day fan made video as well. So, I would definitely welcome McCartney years part two for sure.
Okay. And the only thing that I would add to all this is that I believe that after all is done with his catalog, up to the present, with box sets as far as you can go, I think that even after all that, he's going to redo some of them.
Here's the thing. All those Concord box sets are pretty much out of print. So it would make sense for Capitol to reissue those box sets. Now, whether or not they'll add to that, it might make some people not very happy. excuse me, but I think it's important that Capitol reissues those earlier box sets just so that they're available for people that missed them the first time.
Yeah. Well, my thought on this is that it used to be when Paul started this whole thing with Band on the Run in 2010, I thought he had some grand plan all mapped out of what he was going to do.
Yeah.
And now I think the exact opposite, because I think the format of these box sets have changed. A lot more people seem to want demos more, early versions more, witness what he just did with Flaming Pie or Flowers in the Dirt. You go back to the early box sets that Paul put out. Maybe there's probably not that much you can do with the first McCartney album. But imagine if you had demos of every song from Ram.
Right. Oh, that'd be awesome.
You know, I mean, there are demos from Pipes of Peace and Tug of War and Speed of Sound. But what if you use that approach with some of these other albums that he didn't put those on? You know, and we can't assume that he made demos for every single song in his solo career.
Right.
But it would be nice if there were acoustic guitar demos or piano demos for everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just think it's never going to end. If you think that it's going to end with the most recent album, no. But you got to keep the machine going.
Yeah,
and it will keep going.
I believe so. We have somebody like the stature of McCartney, you know, you got to keep his music, you know, current. You got to keep it out there, you know, just so the younger generations can keep buying it. Because, you know, a lot of times they're going to find the Beatles first and then, you know, venture off into the solo careers. So I think it's very important. That's why I think it was really important for him to go back to Capitol, you know, which was, you know, probably definitely a good move on his part. So the stuff can keep coming out, you know, probably at a quicker pace than maybe, you know, if he was still with Concord, you know, so we'll see, you know.
And you've always got to keep remastering these albums
every
10 years, every 20 years, just to make it sound a little bit better. And there'll always be fans that have to have it.
Yep.
So,
yeah. Cool. Excellent. I agree with you on all these archive box sets. I believe he's in way too deep to stop now. I definitely welcome, you know, the London Town, the Back to the Egg, the Press to Play, and the Give My Regards to Broad Street box sets. There's a lot of people, and Off the Ground, a lot of people out there that think that it's going to stop with Flaming Pie. I would love to see it continue, go on to Chaos, Driving Rain, Remember Most Full. There's still a lot of bonus tracks from those albums that we got on B-sides, because he's still releasing 45s, throughout the 2000s as well, that I don't think I've been on a CD unless they were on the CD singles. So I'd love to see those continue on all the way up until Egypt Station, because we need another Egypt Station out there. I agree with you on Unplugged. I would love to see a DVD Blu-ray of Unplugged. That whole process, the warm-up tour, the whole thing. Love to see that. McCartney years obviously is a must for me. And the other must for me is a Ubu Jubu set. Now McCartney is a very wealthy man, and he can easily get the rights to those songs and put it on. You know, put it on a box set. I think there was, 17 shows?
That's what I heard, although I think it says in the Flaming Pie box that there were 15.
15?
It's one or the other.
Yeah, so either way, I would very easily put the money up for a 15 or a 17 CD set with, you know, one show per, you know, per CD. And I would definitely, you know, and have it in a nice little, Ubu Jubu box, like the Run Double Run 45 set was in, you know, just, you know, make it fit for a CD set. So I would definitely would like that. The album reissues he started a few years back, I would love to see that continue with more current albums like Kisses on the Bottom, Driving Rain, Memory Almost Full. Whether or not he wants to add color vinyl to that, you know, fine, I'll buy it.
Go look for Driving Rain on vinyl now. Good luck.
Hundreds of dollars for that, you know, you're spending, you know. and yeah, I would like to see reissues for, with like All the Best. You know, why not? If he's going to reissue Wings Greatest, why not reissue All the Best and Tripping Life Fantastic, since he reissued Paul is Live. You know, keep that vinyl set going. It should be out there anyways. All of his music should be out there in every, you know, CD and vinyl form. I know there was just an article today released, I think it was, that vinyl is outsold, or CDs, and for the first time in over 34 years, I believe it was, which is really? Just... Yeah,
that's amazing.
It's amazing. So yeah, you know, all good ideas from all of us, and I think you know, these archive sets should continue. I think that's the most important thing with all these bonus tracks and B-sides on the physical media, not download only. Please, hopefully, he learned that lesson, and he won't.
Yeah,
that one.
Plus, so, you know, I always use Eight Arms to Hold You as the greatest reference book.
Right.
But remember, that's only up till 2000.
So 2000, right.
Yep.
And thankfully, we know of what does exist. We know of certain things that have been bootlegged. Mm-hmm. There are titles in there for which we still haven't heard anything. And then there's always songs that we don't even know about that could exist.
Oh,
that
it's not on.
It's not on. Nobody knew it's not on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Or that other version of Simple as That, you know?
Yeah.
It was really bizarre. But, so with Driving Rain, how do you know there aren't bonus songs there that weren't on the album? We don't know, really.
Good track from that. So session's called Celebration, which is a pretty good one, too, from then. It used to play back then.
Right. You mean from Standing Stone?
Oh, but he played it as a live song during the Driving Rain
stuff.
Yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Okay.
Very
yeah.
Cool. All right. Great. Well, let's jump to the Fab Four, the Beatles. Let's get into their what we'd like to see from them. This time, let's start with Andy. What would you like to see from the Fabs?
I'm pretty good with what we have. There's a few more things I'd like to see come out. Following the trend that started with Pepper in 2017. Which I think they were a little bit late really starting with that. They really should have started that in 2013 with Please Please Me and work, but they waited for Pepper, and now they're going to, and they went up now. And of course we're getting Let It Be next year at some point, I think August now of 2021, I think. All I really want to see from the Beatles camp is the same treatment with the Giles Martin stuff that he's done with the rest of the albums, but specifically Help and Rubber Soul. Revolver and Rubber Soul, those three in particular. I think there's no reason why, and I think I said this about the Lennon albums too, there's no reason why every Beatles album shouldn't have that deluxe treatment. I mean, it's the Beatles, for God's sake. Come on. You know, all these other artists can put... So the rest of the... really, all I really want from them, I'm good with everything else. Maybe some live stuff to come out again to harken back, and again, releasing them in a way that we can get that. We don't need physical product, although it's the Beatles. We probably will get physical product because it's a seller of their tours that have been out there. Maybe a compilation or a box set of some live shows. Maybe some of those stuff, the shows that they did in Japan in 66 when there was just silence and they weren't playing well. Things like that, you know, would be nice to come out there. But in terms of live stuff, but what I really, really want from them is just expanded box sets for the rest of the main canon, and I'll be very happy with that.
Gotcha.
You know, because you know, it's just there we have so much as it is, and we still get me. And I'm still discovering gems on the White Album box set from 2 years ago. So it's gonna, you know, how much music can you listen to at one time and still get to everything? So
if we get
expanded releases for the main canon, I'm satisfied.
Gotcha. Okay, Ken, let's move to you.
Maybe you should do yourself first, so that way you can get more. Really, you know, I feel bad that I kind of, you know, stole a lot of your ideas.
No, but I mean, it's just good because I think a lot of people, what you talked about, what I talked, I mean, it's a lot on a lot of people's minds. We want to see all of that, you know, a lot of that stuff, you know, like the stripped down press to play and, you know, the a box set for Give My Regards to the Broad Street. I think it's, even though it's not the greatest movie, like Andy said, I mean, it still deserves you know, some kind of special treatment. So
certainly does.
But for me, for one, I would love to see an updated Blu-ray edition of the anthology. I would love to see that upgraded to Blu-ray. I would love to see the CDs remastered, and I would love to see a volume 4 of anthology. There's still more stuff out there, and I would love to see Carnival Light finally just added on. Just get it out. I don't care if nobody was going to like it.
Just get it out there, right? Just get it out there. I know.
I mean, Paul seems to be pleased with it because he's still talking about it. I mean, anytime he gets an opportunity about it, I mean, he's still going to, you know, talk about it. So you make a good point about the Beatles live stuff. I mean, I think they really dropped the ball with the 8 days a week documentary. When we first heard about it, it was supposed to be this documentary on the touring years. I mean, we got a little bit, but I think it could have been so much more.
Was made for Hollywood and the masses, and not us.
Right. So I would like to see stuff like that released. That's my big thing. And obviously the other albums on some kind of box set, but. But Darren, let's go to you next.
You guys stole a little bit of my thunder with the live compilations, because that's my thing. I think it's We Know Let It Be's coming out. Right. And I think it's a fairly safe bet that the pre-Sgt. Pepper albums are going to get the treatment. They're going to get the treatment. In fact, what's a little scary is that for Please Please Me and with the Beatles, if they just wait to 2023, it would be the 60th anniversary.
Exactly. How
nauseating is that concept? 60 years old. But the 60th anniversary is rolling around for those releases. Wow. I would want to see them. I don't think they have to stick to anniversaries, because I don't want to wait until Carry the One. 25th for Revolver, I mean? So I've always felt, and I used to say this a lot before they announced the reissue of the Let It Be movie, because again, we're supposed to get the original cut, the original Let It Be film within a box set or as a separate release. That's what I keep hearing. Mm. Because initially I thought what the Beatles need is a career spanning multi-disc live compilation, and I made some notes here, various early performances that could include material from Hamburg, The Cavern, and other pre-Love Me Do era recordings. There has got to be some footage around that they could get their hands on. Doesn't have to be perfect quality. You know, they put those early acetates on Anthology 1, what was it, In Spite of All the Danger? And
sure.
They they sounded very scratchy, but for historical purposes, you know, to get some good footage of a complete song or two, maybe from a show at the Cavern in Hamburg.
Awesome.
And it would get a sense also of what the crowd, the venue was like, what the atmosphere was like, you know. And then there's the Washington, D.C. concert, the first ever U.S. show of the beginning of the first ever North America.
Which is out there. That's been released.
It was released strictly digitally.
No.
I mean, it's been bootlegged for a long time.
It was released as the first U.S. visit DVD. It's on that.
I thought it's part of it. They show part of it. I thought.
Not the whole thing.
Oh, but the whole thing was available digitally. That I knew, but I thought it was a part of the whole, that disc, the first U.S. visit, the whole show was on there too, no?
I don't know about the whole show.
Okay.
But even if it was, I'm sure it can get a little cleaned up and stuff and put it in context with, with other shows, more the final club performances. I don't know what exists, once they were done with playing the Cavern and that type size venue.
To move.
63, before they graduated into the bigger venues. Of course, the Shea Stadium show, there could be a whole disc on additional BBC stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or do you want to save that for a volume 3 of the BBC, which I don't know if they would do. Do you want to call it Live at the BBC Volume 3, but it's only available as part of this big box set? I don't know if that's fair. They could. Mm. And then release it individually.
See, but didn't the Shea show get some kind of a limited release on VHS? Ken and Darren, you guys might remember. It was
only bootlegs I've seen.
I've seen like legit, like in a real. I'll have to send it to you, but I've seen it like some very low budgeted film company release it, and it was broadcast.
There was a TV show, a special about the Beatles at Shea Stadium.
Right.
In fact, I have a very faint memory of passing a local movie theater when I was a kid, when I was in the living in the Bronx growing up, and it was an opening feature back in the days when you would go to a movie and there would be a short maybe, or there would be two films on the same ticket. And I remember seeing the Beatles at Shea Stadium on the marquee. I mean, we're talking about centuries ago, but there was a documentary made, but I think there was a lot of doctoring done on that. I want to hear the Shea Stadium, and these full concerts are half an hour long. She could fit. You could probably figure out a way to get three full shows on one disc.
Easy. Probably, yeah.
You know. An Ed Sullivan show disc of the audio of the Ed Sullivan performances through the years.
Sure.
But you've got the complete Ed Sullivan shows on DVD.
But, you know, again, you're talking about an item that out of print.
No. Well, a couple of years ago.
That's an Ed Sullivan thing, not a Beatles thing, right? So it's.
Yeah, but it's also, I think it's a cool idea to see the entire shows because you get to see it in that context of
where they were on the bill,
how they followed like that, and all right. that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fair point.
How about Candlestick Park, the last show?
Last show, I think, is very important.
That should be out there. I mean, that's been bootlegged. I mean, it cuts off at the end with Long Tall Sally, but that would be great too.
And then the whole idea of this, this is an old idea I had a couple of years ago, would be to end it with the complete rooftop performance. Mm. But now that's going to be on Let It Be. And do you release it twice? Right. I don't know.
Do we know if they recorded the shows with Jimmy Nichol? Because, I mean, I would love to hear a show with him drumming.
That's not coming out.
Whatever there would be bootlegged.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But, Andy, I do know that there were video cassettes that came out that were unauthorized on the Washington Coliseum show and the Shea show.
They were
never approved by Apple.
No. They looked, I mean, and I was younger at the time, but they looked like they were like legit releases, but I'm sure they were just, you know, unauthorized copies of the Shea show and stuff.
Mm-hmm. You know, the look is and when they were touring up to 66, as I just mentioned, the performances were short. They were 30 to 35 minutes long on average. And it wouldn't make sense to release individual albums like the Beatles at the Hollywood Bowl today. Forget the movie. Let's just say the Beatles at the Hollywood Bowl comes out today for the first time, not 1977. Right. That you'd feel cheated if that came out.
Yeah, because it was so short.
You know, on vinyl in 77, it was fine. But
can I just say the Hollywood Bowl, I just hate what Capitol did with that whole rehashing of the project and losing all the original album artwork and putting this stupid photo with them in blue on there. God,
I love the sound of it, though.
Oh, this so it's great sound, you lost all of what was put into that original package, the original notes by George Martin, which are there again, but the whole package that was done, I believe, but the art guy, Roy Kohara at Capitol, put that together, all just thrown to the wayside with this, you know, Vanity Fair photo on a cover. I was not a fan of that project.
Yeah. Why not a CD of the opening acts as well, so that way you could get the whole, you know, Beatles live experience, as if you were there, you know, whoever the opening acts or whoever they can get the rights to, you know.
Right.
Kind of,
right.
You know.
Well, you know, that crosses over into a conversation about Live at the BBC, because there were plenty of times when they shared the bill with other acts on the BBC, and a lot of that stuff's been bootlegged, and I'm sure a lot of fans skip over all the other artists. But I'm serious, you know.
Right.
It's still interesting to hear where they're placed in a show like that. But I'm not completely certain about this. With the Shea Stadium concert, when it came to the actual film footage of it, I think they ran out of film towards the very end, and they missed one or two songs at the very end, but they have the audio on it. Okay? I'm not totally certain. I think that's, I was told this many years ago, so I may not remember it completely perfectly. Right. So, yeah. So that's where we are with that. Okay. I don't recall ever seeing any film footage of the Beatles live in Hamburg.
I wonder if there's something now, we talked about, Ken, when we had Dave Morrell on Things We Said Today, and I think was Dave, there was some point in the discussion, they were talking about, I think when the anthology was being done, I mean, they were at Apple, they were collecting bootlegs and they had everything, or were trying to get everything. And I wonder if there would be a way to get your hands on some Hamburg footage and make it.
I think there is. I've heard this when I was living in Liverpool 9 or 10 years ago. There is 8mm silent footage from Hamburg out there, floating around. That's out there. But
I've seen silent footage. Yeah, but
right. But I mean, legit live footage. I mean, that would be a rare find. Wouldn't be awesome, but truly historic. Anything pre, you know, super fame from the Liverpool era or Hamburg, God, that would be just be like finding, you know, just that would be an awesome release. It really would. So historic, you know, because everybody just knows them from 63 or 64 on when they hit it big. But as we know, you know, they became the Beatles by honing their craft and playing for 8 hours a night in Hamburg. Why not have we had a box set of those releases? Oh, that would be fantastic.
Oh, if there was ever a professional recording of their days in Hamburg, what a find that would be.
Oh,
but, right. You know, we'd have known about it by now, I'm sure.
Right. I'm thinking of them going over to some guy filming this. I'm just recording this for the box set we're putting out in 60 years.
Thank God we have what we have, though, with those, you know, those king-size Taylor recordings that leaked their way out, you know.
Yeah.
Thank God we got those.
There's even the recordings of the Quarrymen at the Church Garden Fete.
Putting on the style.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, there's even that. Putting on the style.
But it's there. I mean, that's fantastic. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And before we get to Ken on the last word on that, there is something else I would love to see put on a CD. I don't know how you would package this, and I don't know if you would put this on the Let It Be box set, but that meeting that took place between John, George, and Paul that we've only got to hear a snippet of, we have the transcript.
September 8th, 1969?
Yeah, we have the transcript. Obviously, you know, and I think Lewison was used part of it for his show.
Horns He Wrote.
Yeah, right.
So did Ken Womack, too.
Yeah. Mm. So, I mean, I think that's important part of their history that we should be able to listen to whenever we want, you know. How did they package that, though? You know, that's the thing, you know. So
that's a fascinating meeting they had.
Yeah.
Ken, have you heard the whole thing?
Oh, no. No, I've only heard the few seconds that Ken Womack has, you know.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
But,
cool. Darren, how about you?
I haven't even heard the few seconds that Ken has.
Okay.
I mean, is it on YouTube?
No.
No, I don't know.
No, heard it at those. Well, Ken had it at his talk that he gave last year in Newark, and he played a few seconds of it, and it's the few seconds is just mind blowing, just to hear them talk.
I mean, what like that one little piece? What's discussed, or who's talking, or what do you hear in a nutshell, if you remember?
Well, basically, Ken, go ahead.
Well, I'm trying to remember exactly. I think it was John talking to Paul about certain songs that they don't want to do, really, like maybe it was Oh Blah Da. Why don't you give a song like that to Mary Hopkin or an artist
that,
like that?
That, and they wanted to do maybe a Christmas single, and then really the whole big thing is them really kind of Paul dressing down George, and with George right there about his lack of good songwriting right in front of him.
Well, the thing is, there was some of that was transcribed on Anthony Fawcett's book, One Day at a Time. So we know more about what was said from that than from the 30 seconds or so that Ken Womack played and Mark Lewisohn played. So, but the fascinating thing about that meeting is that John proposed that George get four songs on the Beatles album. So that shows that he recognized there was a problem there. Now, maybe he was just saying what he felt like in the moment. Maybe he wasn't serious. Who knows? But after the Live Peace in Toronto concert, everything changed.
Sure did. But go ahead, Ken. What do you got?
Well, obviously, the most important thing is the rest of the Beatles catalog. And even though it seems like everybody's talking about Revolver next after Let It Be, I do believe, I know I've said this on Things We Said Today, that there has to be something in the works for a Magical Mystery Tour Yellow Submarine package, because they intentionally left those songs off of the White Album and Sgt. Pepper. If you've got only a Northern song, which was done during Sgt. Pepper, and it's not there.
Right.
Oh, but they put Strawberry Fields Forever and Penny Lane on there. Right. You know? So there's a reason why they held back the four songs from Yellow Submarine. And they haven't done anything with Magical Mystery Tour other than Penny Lane, Strawberry Fields Forever. So you got to do something with those songs. So what I'm thinking they're going to do, and I have no inside information about this, this is just my theory, but since Let It Be was pushed back to next year, probably in 2022, we'll get a Magical Mystery Tour Yellow Submarine package. And then you can celebrate the 60th anniversary of Please, Please, next year, which would be February. And the good thing about those anniversaries is that since the first 3 years, was February, I thought.
March.
Excuse me. Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was March.
You might be right. Okay. Since you had two albums a year, those first 3 years, you don't have to wait so long. You could have Please Please Me and With the Beatles in 2023 and all that leading up to Revolver.
Right.
Could you see them combining Please Please Me and With the Beatles as one set?
They might. I'd like to see each one remastered with one bonus CD of outtakes. I can't see them doing too much beyond that until you get to maybe Rubber Soul.
Yeah,
you know? I think it's smart to do one at a time. So if you know those two albums that were released in '63, do the one first and then follow later on in the year with the next.
Yeah, just worry about the oversaturation, which I've talked about on the last episode. There's going to be so many versions to you know, we know about them, but it's just like, you go with the remaster, the remix, the 87, the 09s, what? It's just so many.
Well, new fans could listen to shows like ours and get even more confused. They'll buy everything. It's all out there.
Right.
So, yeah, it does get very confusing after a while. You know, I would always go to the original mixes, you know, first of all. And then you can hear a remix version, you know, and compare the two. But, but Rubber Soul and Revolver probably could get more than just two discs, I would say. And there's a few other things I would like to see, even though it's been bootlegged for so long. A complete Decca audition release. I think it's too big a part of history, and they only put, I think, five songs of that on the anthology. Speaking of the anthology, what about remastering the anthology CDs? And how do you feel about that? Yeah, but I thought you meant like the DVD, Blu-ray.
Yeah. No, and I said the CDs as well. Get a remastered CD.
Yeah. So. I wonder, though, if with all the box sets coming out with outtakes and everything, maybe the anthology, you know,
is
dated. Redundant, you know. Do you really still need it?
I think you do, to capture that moment in time of just purely for this fact that they got back together to do Free as a Bird and Real Love. The fact that you know, I think that those three albums are representative of that reunion of sorts. So if you look at it in those in that context, I think it's okay. Because that's in 94, that's when they got back together. And yeah, the stuff might come out again on other tracks and it might be redundant. But if just for looking it back at that moment in time, you can remember hearing those songs sequenced and coming out. I think they're okay as they are. Remastering would be nice, but I wouldn't personally look down on the anthologies any different if we got more bonus tracks, because they're so special just for me. That because of what they meant at the time as a younger fan, so having them come out.
But it'd be more worth your while if they were bonus tracks that weren't on the box sets of all the Beatles albums.
Yeah, maybe.
So it gets complicated there.
Right. It does.
By the way, the thing you were mentioning, Darren, about Dave Morrell, I know he was telling me the story about for the Beatles anthology, they had found stereo mixes for two songs that were going to be on the anthology box set. But for some reason, and he doesn't have an explanation for it, they just put Everybody's Trying to Be My Baby on there and in mono. It was the mono mix. Mm-hmm. So I know he was talking about something to do with the Shea concert and having stereo mixes of a few songs that were planned originally for the anthology. So maybe you're thinking about that.
I might have been. I'm not sure. Yeah. Not sure. It may not have even been Dave. It might have been another show and a different guest were, or maybe Alan knew of something or mentioned something about the fact that, you know, in researching, they've got a lot of times this stuff, you know, in their archives for reference sake.
Mm. So that would be it. Yeah, also a video compilation. 65 Shea, Washington Coliseum, maybe Blackpool's Big Night Out. That's another thing where you've got five or six songs. It's not that long, but the picture quality is great. The performance is really good. Mm-hmm. Some kind of compilation, TV appearances, Shindig, you know, right. If there's a way that you can combine any of that and put it all into one, that would be nice.
Gotcha. Have we given up hope on a box set of the cartoons, the Beatles cartoons?
I think probably, yeah. Because they didn't, you know, they didn't have much.
I know they own the rights to them.
Well, you know, because it's a part of history, I wish that it would come out, although I find it painful to watch now because it looks so dated. It really does. Right. But I hope it does, but the Beatles were not fond of them.
Right.
Right.
So,
probably low priority.
After the whole catalog is
there, you go.
Box sets.
Yeah, there you go. All right, great. This was awesome. Thank you guys for part two of our crossover here of things we'd like to see in the archives. And why don't we go around the horn and talk about what we've got going on. And Darren, let's start with you. Where can people find you? And do you want people to find you? That's the real question.
Yeah, you could find me. if you want to look. I'm actually, unfortunately, not hard to lose. Anyway, yeah, I'm at WFUV.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear me Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. Right now, just 10 p.m. to midnight. Normally, it would be 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Actually, I had just had a little brief meeting, informal meeting with management where we discussed some of the logistics of WFUV. Everything we do now is being done remotely because of the pandemic. And we've basically been told to not anticipate being back till next year sometime.
Wow.
So,
wow.
You know, this is my show. This is my studio here. And as a result of some logistical thing, which I kind of got it, but couldn't describe back. Come midnight, it's a different beast and automation.
Wow.
I'm only on the air till midnight, 10 p.m. to midnight, 4 days a week. And Saturdays now, 1 to 4 in the afternoon. So if you're in the New York City tri-state area, 90.7 FM, or for the few people who are still into HD, 90.7 FM, HD2. Stream us anywhere, WFUV.org. Download the app. We've got an app. You could listen there. Also, same type deal anywhere in the world. And if you want to email me, I've got two pages on Facebook, Darren DeVivo and Darren DeVivo, DJ, podcast host, writer. Like them both. Friend one, like the other. And Darren DeVivo at WFUV.org. And I'd like to say one things we said today related thing. I've been threatening to do this, and Ken and Alan Kozin have been suggesting kind of like upgrading our Facebook presence. But in the meantime, I noticed today there are a bunch of folks, and maybe you're one of them. you want to join our Facebook page, but you didn't answer the questions to kind of be accepted. Answer the questions. You haven't heard back from me because you haven't answered my questions.
Right.
But anyway, on to the next person.
I got one question for you, though, because you've been on the air for almost 40 years now. I'm not going to say how many because I always seem to get it wrong. 37, 38.
Just like me.
It's in February.
A long time.
Yeah, we're just going to round it to the nearest 10, and we're just going to say you've been on the air for close to 40 years. But just talk about it now compared to when you first started. I mean, is it the same?
It's very different. You see, WFUV WFUV is licensed by and broadcasts from Fordham University's Bronx campus, the Rose Hill campus. There was a time when WFUV was a full-blown college radio station. That's when I started. I went to Fordham. Number one reason was to work at WFUV, and it was in my neighborhood, and it was convenient, and it had a good reputation. But WFUV was my goal. I had no clue when I started in 83 and did my first show February 84 that A, this was going to be my career, and B, my career was going to be right here. Because by the end of the 80s, the administration was starting to make some changes where it morphed, without getting into detail, from being a college station to being a non-commercial public radio station. And I was very fortunate. I was hired to be one of the professional DJs in January 91. So it was like I was the one remnant of the 80s, the final years of a college station. So what we did in the 80s, and even in the especially the first half of the 90s, is day and night different from where FUV is today. I mean, what we sounded like 10, 15 years ago is different from what we are today. So we've sort of been an ever-evolving station that now plays a lot of new music, a lot of new artists, up-and-coming artists. It's kind of funny to look at bands like Wilco and look at Wilco now as oldies. You know what I mean?
But
you too.
You too is oldies.
You too. Yeah. I mean, so it's definitely a different type station. It does a pretty good job of keeping you abreast on a lot of new people, and I discover new things every week. I mean, it's like, who is this? And it actually keeps me kind of.
That's pretty cool because it keeps you up to date, which is cool.
Yeah.
Because FUV, and I don't mean to keep dwelling on my station, in the 90s, we were very, we were kind of a mixed bag type of station that had acoustic music, folk music, blues, world music, Celtic rock, Celtic folk. We mixed all this together, and during that period, bands like Dinosaur Jr. and Yeahs and groups like that were coming out that I would really have been into at the time, but they were completely different in the 90s from what FUV was doing. Right. Now here I am in my 50s working at the station in 2020, and I'm discovering things that came out 20 years ago that, like, where was I?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. So. Cool. Very cool. All right. Also on the air for almost 40 years, Mr. Ken Michaels, why don't you tell everybody your information?
Yeah, by the way, you know, Darren and I started on radio pretty much the same time.
All right.
And just to, you know, to give some kudos here to Darren, you have no idea how rare it is in this business to stay at the same radio station your whole career.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, people come and go, program directors change, formats change. It's a miracle when anybody can last that long at the same radio station. So all the credit to you, Darren, for doing that. You're like the Derek Jeter of WSB.
Very good.
You know. You couldn't, like,
as soon as you retire, you're going to buy a radio station in Florida, right?
Uh-huh. You know, I've been very fortunate that it was the right place at the right time and the right type of station. And we've often talked about it at the station, how we are sort of immune to the industry. We're on our own private island in a way. We don't have to worry about the suits and the corporations and stuff. We basically do what we do. We do it well. We manage ourselves, and Fordham is happy, and they're not going to bother us because, you know, we're not playing, you know, death metal, spinning it backwards, looking for, you know, secret messages. I mean, so, you know,
don't send Judas Priest back to court, please.
Oh, God.
But thank you, Ken. Thank you very much.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. By the way, you said nothing about my Mets shirt here, Darren.
Oh, because actually no one knows this. We talked about it like before we started it.
Yeah.
Who are the four Mets crossing Abbey Road? Well, who are the four Mets crossing Tom Seaver Way?
Tom Seaver, Keith Hernandez, David Wright, and Gary Carter. So, and Tom Seaver's my favorite Met of all time. God bless him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
make the cut, huh?
The franchise.
Yeah. Who's that?
Strawberry didn't make the cut, huh?
No, I was surprised Mike Piazza didn't. You know, I thought he'd be in there too.
They're traitors anyways. So
that's another show. Anyway, my syndicated Beatles show, Every Little Thing, is on over 40 radio stations. There's a page on my website, kenmichaelsradio.com, where you can look up all the radio stations, have links to their websites. You can listen to each of those radio stations. You know, you were saying something just now, Darren, about how FUV is independent and, you know, not corporate. Those are the stations that play the most interesting programs, the most innovative programs. And I found that, God bless them, you know, just about all the stations that carry Every Little Thing is very unique. They're not going to be a radio station that plays the same 300 classic rock songs or the same 300 oldies. You know, it's much more freeform on just about all the stations that carry my show. But if you go to my website, there's this one page where it lists all the stations that carry it, the broadcast times, links to their websites so you can stream them. Also, if they're on any other platforms like TuneIn, for example, or Alexa. And there's Things We Said Today, which is the show that I do with Darren. We're planning on doing a show. Well, the next show won't be for a couple of weeks, but it's going to have to be, as it should be, a tribute of some kind to John Lennon because of his upcoming, what would be, 80th birthday. So our show is on Podbean and iTunes and YouTube. Hopefully, it'll be on a lot more platforms very soon, and I am hoping that we'll also move into the 21st century here and have a video component of the show as well. What else? My website, there's trivia every single week. I'm now giving away Ken Womack's new book on John Lennon 1980. Tom is always ready.
Pick it up.
The last days of the life. There goes Andy.
Just came today. I cannot wait to read it.
Okay. Ken McNabb.
I have a Chipotle nap. The best I could do here for a while.
How many of those are you giving away, Ken?
Yeah. You don't have any Chipotle napkins like I do.
Okay. No.
Well, I won't get any hits on my website now because of that. But, that's going on my website, Beatles Trivia, every single week. There's one right now, as we speak, on the Beatles Trivia and Games page. I always wonder how you probably look at my trivia each week, don't you, Tom?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you know all the answers? Because she never writes to me about them.
No, I mean, I've won enough in the past. I don't need to. But yeah, I mean, I mean, especially if it's Paul McCartney related, I'll usually generally will share it on the Two Legs podcast, Facebook page for sure.
Okay.
But yeah, I still look at them every week, and you know, look forward to them every week. Yeah. Andy, what do you got?
I've kind of been the kind of backwards traveler guy that handles all the back behind the scenes stuff here for Two Legs and managing the YouTube page and stuff like that. We hit over 200 subscribers this past week, so thank you very much for that. That page is growing by the week with more content. We've been publishing our shows weekly, Tom and I, and we have a slew of stuff coming down the pike, really excited stuff that guests and authors coming down the pike that he'll tell you all about. But the page is growing, and thank you for the support on there. And if you need to reach me on there, just, you know, I'm on Facebook, you message me on there. And we have a lot of good stuff coming down the pike, so Tom will tell you all about that.
Yeah, like Andy said, we probably have enough shows for the rest of the year to keep doing a weekly show as long as, you know, we both have the time to do it. It's amazing. You know, just the guests that we've been getting, where I'm really looking forward to telling you guys all about the upcoming guests we have. So look out for that. So like Andy said, our YouTube page, our channel, it has been growing. So happy about that. And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Two Legs Podcast. You can email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. Myself, I'm on Facebook, Tom Agnotti. You can find me there, or you can find, like I said, you can find our Facebook page and message us there. As Andy said, thank you very much for your comments, for your emails. We really cherish them. If whether they're good or they're bad, just bring them on. We don't care. We're just happy that you're listening. So thank you for that. So I really want to take 2 seconds to thank Ken and Darren, because, you know, we were hoping to do something on the last virtual fest, but that didn't happen. So I'm fortunate that you guys agreed to do this crossover. So thank you guys for that. While, as we know, Cozen is busy writing away. And thank you guys. We really appreciate it. It was, you know, like I said, this, the things we said today was the first podcast I discovered way back in 2012, and it was a dream come true to be on your show. So then I hopefully I didn't stink it up too much. But
you've really come a long way. I was just going to say, you've really come a long way, Tom, in a very short period of time. I'm so impressed with everything you're cranking out. Good quality stuff.
Thank you.
I'd also like to say, maybe at some point we'll have all five of us together, whether it's Two Legs or things we said today. Maybe we can arrange that.
That'd be great.
That'd be great.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And please subscribe to our YouTube pages too, with things we said today and talk more talk.
Absolutely.
And our first crossover episode that we did with you guys is on there. Went up there about a week ago, I think. Ken posted it. So if you missed the first installment, it's when Tom and I were on. That is up there as well. It's under the Things We Said Today YouTube page as well. And that was a good show to do, too, for part one of this.
Yeah. That was Alan. Alan posts everything.
Oh, okay.
Just want to give credit. You know.
Oh, okay.
Alan posts the show everywhere, then? That's his job?
Yeah, well, it goes to Podbean, and Podbean sends it to iTunes.
Right. Yeah.
And he also, Alan sends it to YouTube.
Okay, does that. Great. Awesome. Excellent. So for Darren DeVivo, Ken Michaels, Andy Nichols, I'm Tom Hunyadi. And as always, everybody out there, please have a great day and a beautiful night. Take care.
Take care, everyone.
Say bye-bye.
Listening to Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast, hosted by Tom Hunyadi and Andy Nichols, with musical contributions by Dylan.